Wallace with KFRM 550 AM, and I am with Lance Rezac. He was just newly elected chair for a 12-month term with USEC, and he's a farmer from Onega. Lance, we're here at Houston, Texas, at the Commodity Classic, and can you tell us about the increased protein consumption as far as overseas, how you plan to help with that, with those farmers over there? And like their rations and helping them with feed rations?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, we want to promote U.S. soy across, in other nations around the world. But and part of it is trying to help these developing countries just get more protein in their ration. So a lot of them are vegetable protein at first, and they eat some soy. But a lot of the work we do is with teaching them how to raise fish or poultry or something like that. Most of the world can eat those. Sometimes there's religious restrictions with, you know, beef and pork. And fish and poultry are converted a lot more, better feed efficiency, so they're cheaper meat to grow. And so we work in a lot of countries. We were just at a meeting. We have seven regional directors, seven regions in the world. And each of those regional directors have staff under them in those areas. And they vary from the Americas, which is, includes all of Mexico, Latin America, South America. And we work in all those countries. Those are kind of our, I want to say, a little bit of our more secure markets, because we have the advantage of putting stuff on a rail line and getting that down south into Latin America and stuff. And so we have a little advantage there. The other countries around the world, I was telling them, we've been in China for 40 years. It started out as ASA, International Marketing, and now it's U.S. Soy Export Council. But it was 17 years before they bought their first soybean. So we like to look ahead at some of these markets. We're working in India right now. India, they have a lot. They grow their own soybeans, a lot of them, and they have farmers that live on 3-4 acres trying to grow soybeans, so they got to be careful about how much they import. But we're working with, like, the India poultry producers to make sure that that they have a good source of protein. India used to export soybean meal. Now they're using all theirs. Here, like a little over a year ago, they opened a window and bought some soybean meal for 3 or 4 months because the poultry producers had enough pull to get some extra feed into their country because they were running short. And so they opened that, and that was GMO soybean meal. And technically, India doesn't buy any, you know, but they when they need it, they do. Mm-hmm. So you try to. So we're in there working with the poultry producers, make sure that's okay. Some other developing countries are Nigeria. Nigeria is predicted to be like the third largest country here in 20 years or something like that. And right now they're pretty poor and they don't buy a lot of soybeans or soybean meal, but we're working in those countries, teaching them how to, you know, like I said, just teaching them everything from the ground up. They got to know how to buy soy. If they're going to use U.S. soy, you want to make sure they're using it right. You want to make sure they're using it correctly in a ration, putting it together correctly. And if you got a good ration but poor infrastructure, you know, the chickens or whatever are not in any kind of a correct cage or whatever, you know, we're working with them on that. Some of the meetings they had, one lady who was a farmer, I think she had 50 chickens, and after going to one of the meetings, she did stuff enough right, switched around, and she was up to 500. So that's making a difference in the world, helping feed the world, teaching them how to grow their own food. And so it's really satisfying to know you're doing this. And then 500 chickens are going to take a little bit of soybean meal, you know, and so if you can do that over and over again, it's really neat to see that happening.
And just one final question, Lance. Tell us about the diversification in regards to building markets and not relying on China.
Well, like I said earlier, I mentioned China. And right now, China buys 60% of all the soy that's traded in the world. So they don't quite buy 2/3 of it, but almost. That leaves a little over 1/3, 40% for the rest of the world to work with. And so we know how relations are with China, and we're not... We have staff in China, and we're working with them very closely to make sure that ag trade is the anchor in the boat. We want to be the common sense solution because China needs us and we need them. I don't know if either country wants to admit to that very easily, but they do. But we also want to diversify all our other markets too. But these take time because there's no other China when they use that much, you know. We've had some other markets like Egypt, which was doing really well, but then they ran into currency problems with their government, and now they can't buy soy anywhere because they don't have enough money. And we were in Pakistan doing well. We'd kind of taught them how to raise chickens. In like 2-3 years, they switched their whole chicken industry over from farm-raised chickens to American-style chicken because they can grow them like twice as big, three times as fast. And once one integrator did it, they all did it. Because even in these poor countries, there's people with influence and money. And so, but then we got a new president over there that said, we're not buying any GMO, which was kind of on the books, but nobody was looking at it. I think Pakistan's only producing 25% of the poultry it was before. So he's starving their people, you know, just over a stupid regulation. And so, we're working with the poultry producers in Pakistan, too. It's just surprising at all the places that U.S. Soy Export Council has people working to help promote U.S. soy.
Well, thank you, Lance Rezac, for joining us today. Again, that was Lance Rezac. He's newly elected chair for a 12-month term with USEC. And I'm Tamara Wallace reporting for KFRM 550 AM.